I'd like to invite you this morning to continue to look in Luke chapter 2 and at the story of the shepherds and then of Mary's response. Last week I took the opportunity to speak about the shepherds and their response and how God used them and what great joy the message was and how important it is for us to understand that the joy of the good news is for you and for me, not just for the shepherds, not just for Mary and Joseph and the Magi that came later, but the message of good news and joy is for us, and God wants us to live in that somehow, live with that and live through that and for the joy of the Lord to make a difference in our lives, and how important joy is in your life as a Christian. That somehow you radiate that. People see that in you, and they see that your eyes and your focus and your faith and your heart is on who the Lord is. And even though that doesn't mean that life is easy or pleasant, but in the midst of the hard times as well, God can use your life as a great witness to other people. And the joy of the Lord is so important to us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to begin at verse 16 and read through verse 20. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I'd like for you to consider for a few minutes this morning, first, what happened to the shepherds after they came to the Christmas story and how God used them. And then after that, I want to talk about Mary and this beautiful passage about what happened to Mary as God is using her and God through her is bringing Jesus into the world and this journey that Jesus will have from the message of the angel Gabriel all the way until he ascends into heaven. When I think about the shepherds, I think of ordinary people, and Shauna mentioned that earlier, and how the shepherds were very ordinary people, common people. They were hard workers. They didn't have the most pleasant job. I mean, I kind of have this idyllic picture of these shepherds all dressed up in costumes and just kind of out under the stars and just enjoying nature and all that. But, you know, I imagine it got pretty cold out there. I imagine that sometimes it was pretty lonely. And at times when they would lay down and get their little fits of sleep, maybe between a rock and a hard place, and you know, it may not have been all that pleasant for them, but the shepherds, common people, are the ones that God sent the angel to. They were kind of minding their own business when suddenly God breaks through into their lives and changes everything. That word suddenly to me describes so much about what God does at times in our lives. You know, we kind of go through life and then all of a sudden we'll see that God has stepped in and God has spoken to us. God has changed something. God has used circumstances in our lives to address something in our lives, and then our lives are changed. We go a different direction. I think of how important the word suddenly is in the Christmas story. Suddenly the angels came, and suddenly they spoke to the shepherds and how it changed their lives. When the angel of the Lord appeared, the world changed. When God sent the angels to the shepherds, there was a suddenness to us, and there was a change to the world. There was certainly a change for the shepherds. I realize that God is able to change our world so quickly. He can change our lives so quickly. And sometimes we think, well, it's always going to be just kind of like it is. But then there's these moments and times in our lives when God breaks through and something changes in our lives. God does know how to get our attention. He knows how to help us to kind of shake us up a little bit and see things differently than we did before. Well, certainly for these shepherds, there was a suddenness to this. We also, that helps me to remember that God is watching over our world. And the fact that God comes and intervenes at times in our lives reminds me that God is always watching over us. He sees our lives. He sees every day of our lives. He knows what's going to be, what's going to take place. He's watching over us. Last week, I focused on that that great joy that God has for you and I. That's a gift that God gives us to help us to live throughout our lives a continuous stream of something that God wants, hope and purpose and looking to the power of God. With the shepherds, there was this suddenness. Their lives were interrupted by the suddenness of God's messages. And of course, their first reaction was to be afraid. One translation says they were terrified. Another one, they were afraid. They were full of fear. Of course they were. But God came to them and God said, I am with you. You don't need to be afraid. I can help you in this. I can help you through this. And when we go through difficult times and we step back and we seek God's Spirit, God has a way to come in and say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going to go through. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. Do not be afraid. The angels reassured them and then gave them the great message of the good news that we talked about last week, and how amazing it was and how life-changing it was that God was breaking into human history, and they would only begin to understand that, and only at a very small level would they understand what God was going to do. But the shepherds knew it was big. They knew that whatever it was an amazing thing that God was going to do. And so they wanted to see for themselves. And so verse 16 says they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. I see in this verse how the excitement of the shepherds. They were anticipating that God was going to do something. God was going to speak. God had a message for them. How important it is for us to anticipate that God wants to speak to us. God wants to take life and what's going on in our lives, and God does want to speak to us. He wants us to know that He's there and that Holy Spirit is inside of us, and He wants to guide us and give us insight and give us strength and give us discernment. All those things that are almost intangibles, we can't put our finger on it, but that's what God's Spirit does inside of us, and He wants to guide us and touch us and move us and change us, and looking forward to that is important. There was an anticipation among the shepherds, and so they went and they saw for themselves. They wanted to experience it. They didn't want it to be just something that somebody told them. The angels told them about this, but they wanted to see for themselves. They went. They took their time. They went to Bethlehem to see what they had been told. And then after they went to Bethlehem, then their witness, and I think that's what's so significant to this story, is what happened to them when they experienced it themselves, when they sensed that God's presence and what God was doing. It says in verse 17, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning Him, what had been told to them about this child. They came and they saw, and then they spread the word. It was a part of them. They told the story because it was so significant in their lives. It was so important to their identity. It was so important to who they were and what they believed about God and what they now understood God was doing, that they wanted to tell the story. It was a part of them. They couldn't hold it in. I imagine if you went and you found those shepherds and you said, well, you're not allowed to tell anybody this. If that wouldn't have worked. They wanted to tell everybody they saw what it was that God was doing. It just came out of them. It spilled out of them, the excitement, the joy, because God was real to them. When you sense the realness of the Spirit of God in your heart and your life, you want to share that. You want to talk about it. You want people to see it in your life and your character. They couldn't hold it in. They couldn't wait to tell the story. And it says that all were amazed at it when they heard about it. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The story was authentic. It was real. It was true to them. It was a part of who they were. And as they shared it, people with amazement listened to the story and the plan of God. I wonder how many people heard the story of Jesus because of the shepherds. How many people heard because of the influence, the ripples of the testimony of the shepherds? It says all who heard it were amazed at them. And then we look to the next verse and we turn our attention to Mary, the mother of Jesus. You think about who Mary is. You think about this young girl, probably a young teenager, as young as 13 or 14 or 15 possibly. It was true that Jewish girls, when they got to the age of 12, we probably hear more about what happens to Jewish boys and bar mitzvah and, you know, that passage into manhood at the age of 12. But girls, when they become able to have a baby, then often they were betrothed very soon after that. And then there would be a number of years before they would be married. But oftentimes girls that could have been 12 or 13 or 14 were given in marriage to another young man. And then there was a waiting period and a waiting time. And Mary was likely probably very young. And her life is an incredible, incredible story. It's an incredible story for us to think about at Christmas time. I want you to think a little bit about her journey this morning and what Mary went through as she experienced all the things that we see in the Christmas story and all we see about Jesus' life. I mean, she too, I mean, up to this moment, as far as we know, she lived an ordinary life. We don't really know anything about her other than her parentage. And she was a Jewish girl, and she had found favor with God. Her life had been turned at a young age to doing what God wanted her to do. I think of that. Just what speaks to me right away is that people very young can serve the Lord. Children can serve the Lord. Teenagers, preteens, all you beautiful young people right here in the front, I want to say to you this morning that you can be as pleasing to God as Mary was. Yeah, especially Tom there. Yeah. You can be pleasing to the Lord. Don't think that you have to wait till you're an adult before you kind of fulfill that place of being pleasing to God. The truth is, you can be very pleasing to God right now, or you can be displeasing to God for that matter. It's not that you're an old person before you kind of reach that place of whether or not God finds favor with you or not. God looks at you today, and He sees your heart, He sees your life, He sees your mind, He sees your attitude, He sees your choices. And you can find favor with God. This Mary was probably younger than most of you that are here today. She found favor with God. She had an ordinary life, but once again, God was pleased to step into the life of this Jewish girl and call to her and say, Mary, I have a job for you to do, a great responsibility. He comes into her life and he changes her. He gives her a direction and a future. And then Mary's life and Mary's journey and her example is, it seems so incredible to me that something that we can learn from Mary and her simplicity and her responsiveness to God. I mean, you look at how she responded to the angel Gabriel. Sure, she didn't understand it. Sure, she thought, well, how could this be? I don't have a husband, and all the natural things that anybody would think about, but yet she was willing. She said in her heart, she said to the angel, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I mean, that's the attitude that Mary has. There's this willingness to be what God wanted her to be. And I think that, when it all boils down to, that's what the attitude all of us should have before God is, I want to be what God wants me to be, whatever it is. I might not know what it is right now. I might not even know how to do it right now, where I'm at and my circumstances, but I'm willing. And that's what Mary was. Simply to say, I'm willing. There's so many things that we could focus on about Mary, but today if I just say two words that you could hold in your heart about being pleasing to God, it'd be simply to say, I'm willing. God, whatever you want for me, I'm willing to do. And Mary has that kind of responsiveness and that kind of relationship with God that says, yes, God, I'll do it. I might not be able to do it till I understand what you want me to do, but I'll do it. And that's an important prayer that we make in our heart toward God. Yes, I'm willing, God, to be and to do whatever you want me to do. She had an amazing responsiveness to God. But I also see in Mary an incredible faith. Mary's faith had to be incredible. I mean, that she could hear what this angel said and believe God. I mean, who could believe such a tale, such a story? But yet she was able to trust God enough to say, God, I believe you. And yes, God. That's amazing to me. When you think about Mary's place in the world, she's the most honored woman in the history of the world. I mean, in many cultures and continents and even other faiths, Mary, among others, is highly honored. Why? One of the things I believe is because of her incredible faith. She was able to believe God. She was able to accept something that was unbelievable. She was able to hear when the angel said, well, with God, nothing is impossible. She was able to hear that and believe that. The truth is, we don't always know what God's going to do. God may have something to say to you today. God has something to say in your life. You don't know what it's going to be. But the question is, are you able to hear Him? Are you able to say, God, I will be and do what you want me to be? Her life, her faith is amazing. It's absolutely incredible. Yet, you think about Mary in the New Testament. She had an incredible faith. She had an incredible ability to respond to God, a responsiveness. But yet, we don't know that much about Mary. You know, Mary only, her words are only recorded four times in the New Testament, and 99.9% of them are recorded right in the first and second chapter when the angel comes. That's it, about Mary's words. But you know, her name is found throughout the New Testament over and over again. You know why? Because she is always there. She's always watching. She's always present. She's always being a mother. She's just fulfilling what God called her to do. I mean, the church, the body of Christ, has made her into this, whatever you call it, you know, this saint, this worship person, some people somewhere, sometimes, some places, and that's not her fault, I can tell you. I tell you what Mary did is she just lived her life every day, every month, every year that we can see in the Scripture, just doing what God called her to do. And she had an amazing story. She's just there. It's not that she's talking and telling everybody what to do, or she's not proclaiming. She's just there, faithful and consistent, always present, always a mother. She's not known for her words, other than what she says when this beginning and when she says these blessings when the angel comes. Other than that, Mary's not known for her words, but she is known for her actions and her presence in the life of Jesus. Always present, always a mother. In every scene we find her, and there's many throughout the Gospels where we have her name, she's there. In every scene we find her, she is there fulfilling the role that God has given her. Her character speaks volume. The character of Mary speaks volume. Who she was, her faith, and how she responded to God. She had this incredible faith. To be able to believe God and respond so willingly, it was an incredible faith. She could not have possibly understood the plan that God had. There's no way she could have. I mean, she was just struggling with, God asked me to do this, and it's an incredible miracle. And I don't have a husband. But whatever, you know, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I mean, all these things that the angel says to her, she couldn't have possibly had it all together and just kind of put it all, okay, I know where we're going with this, you know? No, she just lived every day according to what she was supposed to and God wanted her to do, and she fulfilled the beautiful plan that God had for her life. You know, just living out every day the way that God wants us to is the path to fulfilling everything that God has for you in your life. Living today like God wants you to. Living this moment, your attitude, your spirit, what you treasure, choosing today what's right is the path to fulfilling God's will for your entire life. The opportunities as they come, the challenges as they come, the decisions as they come, they will come. Those times, those road choices will come. But living every day according to what you know in your heart God's calling you to do is the path to be all that God wants you to be. It's not like you have to have it all figured out ahead of time. There's no way that Mary could have. She couldn't have possibly understood who Jesus was, only in parts and places. But there she is, faithfully her whole life, living out God's plan, humble, sincere, faithful. And then verse 19 tells us something that's very special. Verse 19, look at that if you have it open, or it should be on the screen. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'd like to think about that this morning. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think this too is an important part of Mary's life, Mary's faith, Mary's witness, and where Mary fits into what we understand about the Word of God and about the story of God. She treasured up and she pondered. I would say too, in this verse, in this picture, we have a picture of Mary that's a great example for us to do. It says she treasured in her heart and she pondered these things. In other words, Mary held on to what she had heard and she knew about Jesus. She put them deeply on the inside. And she spent her time thinking about and focusing on the wonder of who Jesus was. She did that all her life. She started out as, again, a young teenager. And all her life she had these events that took place and messages that came. And all along she is treasuring and pondering, not knowing, not being able to figure it out, just quietly kind of listening and watching and living out God's plan. I mean, for somebody that's so honored today, Mary was not any spectacular person in the first century. She was just who she was. She was a young girl. She had great faith and she lived it out. What a picture, what an example for us, quietly listening and watching and living out her faith. What about you? What are you doing with your faith? Are you just kind of, are you living it out? Are you letting it inform everything in your life? And you're living it out as a normal person. She did that, and she had a lot, and she treasured it on the inside. She had a lot to ponder. I don't think, maybe she spoke more than is recorded. That's probably very likely, but you don't hear any great speeches from Mary. You don't hear any great, you know, instructions or anything. I mean, here she was, the mother of God, she was called. But she just lives quietly her life, and her witness and her testimony now goes on and on and on. But think of all the things that she had to treasure in her life to ponder from the beginning to the end. I mean, from the first moment and Gabriel. You imagine what she felt when Gabriel came and the angel Gabriel, you know, she'd never seen an angel before, and all the amazing things we talked about last week, how amazing that must have been, and how the words, I mean, I don't know if they were so burned into her memory that she just kind of kept rehearsing in the rest of her life. But, you know, as the angel says, do not be afraid, I bring you, you know, and all these things that he says to Mary. And there she is treasuring and pondering them in her heart and thinking about those things. You know, we know the story too. We have the opportunity to treasure and ponder too the wonder of the Christmas story, the wonder of what Mary felt and heard. And then we have Elizabeth, the cousin. And so Mary gets up and goes after the angel Gabriel comes to her. And there her cousin, who is well beyond years of being able to bear children, has a baby. And then what does Elizabeth tell her? That it's the Lord. And my baby leapt in my womb when he saw the presence of the Lord. And then she says, what a blessed person Mary will be. And she kind of, Elizabeth affirms all these things. And there's Mary just treasuring and pondering. Wow. Wow, Elizabeth. Oh, I can't believe you said that. You said what? You know? You said, what about my baby? You already know. I mean, can you just imagine what Mary was wrestling with all that? You know, Elizabeth, how do you know all this? How do you know that he's the Son of God? There's Elizabeth affirming and Mary taking it all in and treasuring it up in her heart from the beginning to the end, affirming and adding to the wonder of what Mary is thinking about. And then the shepherds, the birth, you know, I don't know that the journey to Bethlehem was all that remarkable. You know, I'm not sure with Mary, other than you're 9 months pregnant, any journey or whatever, you know. But then the shepherds come, and they say the angels came and told us about the good news and the Savior of the world, and how she could have listened to them as they talk, and they come in and, you know, can you imagine what she's taking in, treasuring, and all that? And then you move along. The wise men come, you know, a few months later, whatever. I don't know exactly when, but then these magi come with all these expensive gifts. I mean, we envision it being a pretty good chunk of money and gifts. This is a turtle dove kind of family when they bring their sacrifice for their baby. It's not a family that brings the best or the biggest. I mean, it was the best because it was what they had, and so that was best. That was great. That was what God wanted. But, you know, they didn't have a lot, but here these wise men come with all these gifts, and here's Mary thinking, wow, what is this? We're in Bethlehem. We're not even at home. How do these guys know this? Can you imagine Mary kind of pondering in her heart these things? And then when they go for the dedication, which probably took place even before the Magi came, there they go into Jerusalem, and they come into the temple, and they have this he's been circumcised on the eighth day, and he's been given his name, but on the 40th day he's brought in for the baby dedication. What a precious day for them. What a joyful day for Mary and Joseph. And just the excitement of being a Jew and what dedication means. I mean, baby dedication was very, very special for Jewish people. And so they're anticipating the journey into Jerusalem and going to the temple and the laughter and excitement. I don't know if they had other family around them or they were on their own at that point. I don't know, but they go in there, and then there's this man, Simeon, this old man. And he says these things about the baby. And Mary hears him. The rise and fall of Israel. And the Savior of the world. And Mary is, wow. What's all this? She's pondering in her heart. Treasuring up in her heart. I'm just this morning, this idea of treasuring in the heart. And how important it is for us to treasure the things of God. You know, there's so much out there. There's so much stuff to watch and listen to and read. And some of you have you have whatever in your hand right now, probably. You're texting your buddies. I don't know. You know? I know it's a different world we live in. You know, we got so much to do. We got so much to occupy us. It's great movies and, you know, Jimmy Stewart again this year and, you know, whatever else is out there, new stuff for the younger, you know, whatever, you know. But, you know, we got the parties and we got the presents to get ready for and we got a lot of fun things to do and good things to do. And, you know, all those are good. But, you know, I wonder if we do what Mary's doing, treasuring and pondering the things of God, how she puts them all together. And then how she would deal with it as Jesus begins to grow and he says his first words and he takes his first steps, and then there's the trauma of King Herod and being in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Egypt. If he's the Son of God, why do we have to go to Egypt? Couldn't God protect him right here if he's his son? You know, I mean, you imagine what she wrestled with? You know, what all these things? Then they come back from Egypt and they finally go to Nazareth, and she watches the little boy grow up and close to his dad, the carpenter. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Just watching this little boy grow up and watch his character and watch his words and trying to figure out how in the world is this God's son? And then they come back for the annual visit to Jerusalem, and they leave, and where's Jesus? Can't find him. Oh, man, where'd that boy go? And they look and look and search, and what do? They find him in the temple. What's he doing? He's discussing and debating with the Jewish leaders. And what do you think Mary's feeling and thinking? Wow. What are you doing? My son. Oh, don't you remember, Mom? Don't you remember? I'm about my father's business. Treasuring and pondering. And that's really just the early days of Jesus' life. The unseen years from the age of 12 to about 28 or 29 as Jesus grows into manhood. And presumably he's there with his mother the whole time, probably in Bethlehem, or not Bethlehem, but Nazareth, as far as we know. And then, you know, Mary is sensing something and she's, it's time, Jesus, whatever it is, it's time. And so you can do something about that water at the, you know, you can You know, they're out of wine, Jesus. Why don't you just take care of it? You're able to, you know. There she is, mother. She never stops being a mother. She's watching. She's pondering. She's treasuring in her heart. Every day with Jesus in public ministry, I'm sure not knowing where he is most of the time, but then he would come back to Nazareth or wherever she was, maybe in Jerusalem by then. And she's watching his miracles, maybe there on the when he multiplies the loaves and the fishes, and he raises the dead, and he heals the sick, and he drives out the demons, and he walks across the Sea of Galilee. And what's Mary doing? She's treasuring and pondering in her heart, watching the miracles, listening to his teaching, always a mother. Also, I'm sure she was watching the growing conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, wrestling with the words of Simeon. Swords and seeing that it's not going right. It's just not going like it's supposed to. Mary, I'm guessing Marian is thinking in her heart, and then comes the day of the Garden of Gethsemane and the arrest and the trial and the beating and the bleeding and the Via Dolorosa, the journey to the cross. And then Mary, as she is there at the foot of the cross, one of the Gospels tells us, and she's looking up. She's trying to understand. Why? What? Treasuring, pondering in her heart. The anguish. How can it be? The agonizing of a mother as Joseph of Arimathea and take down Jesus' body off the cross and they wrap it, and as a mother would, what would a mother be and do? There she is, that same Mary from all the way through. She's there. The point is, she's there the whole time. She never takes her eyes off Jesus. Treasuring, pondering. Then the amazing third day. I wonder when Mary really got that and understood it. I don't know. Who knows how long it took Mary to understand what God had done. Her son is alive again. She's with him there in the 40 days in between. Her name is there in the book of Acts. There's Mary. There's the mother of Jesus. She's there the whole time. Jesus ascends to heaven. So where's Mary? She's with the disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, where's Mary? She's there. Her whole life is treasuring and pondering the wonder of who God is. What an example for us. What a story. From beginning to end, Mary is there treasuring and pondering. And we too had the privilege of holding the right things in the right place in our lives. Treasuring the right things. I know there's so much stuff to treasure out there. I know there's so many things out there that would get our attention and take our time. And I mean, like I said, the devices, the games, the hobbies, just average everyday habits and watching TV a lot and doing whatever we do a lot of. Are we treasuring the right things? Are we holding on to the right things that draw us close to the heart of God? That's the question of relationship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus tells us something that's very special and very important. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Whatever it is you treasure, whatever you hold on to, whatever's most important in your life, in your time, in your relationships, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where you're going to go. So what does your time show you and tell you about what you really love and care about and believe in? Mary treasured and pondered all these things in her heart because she loved God greatly. She loved God deeply. She loved Jesus deeply, and her witness in her heart and her testimony was to seek Him, to treasure Him with all that she was. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the life of Mary, and I thank You for her witness. I thank You for her incredible faith. I thank You for an example of someone from a very early age to at least up through the Jesus ascending into heaven in the early church, you give us an example of someone who had a faith that was real and alive and continued to seek you. I pray, God, that we would treasure the right things. I pray, God, that we would give you that place of honor and seeking. That, Lord God, our hearts would treasure the right things. Not only at Christmas time, but now too in the busyness, but God, every day of our lives, when there are so many other things that could take our time and distract us from focusing and seeking you, I pray that we would seek you with our whole hearts. Thank you for Mary's life. Thank you for her story. Thank you for her example to us, I pray. In Jesus' name.